Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, I want to recap the last couple news releases here. The company does consistently come out with drill results almost every couple weeks. And the last news release that came out 2 days ago, February 16th, reported that the company has reached 250 drill holes from this LP fault. This really is just about, from my understanding, showing consistency and continuity across this whole LP fault strike length. Give us some big picture thoughts now that the company has reached 250 holes drilled at this LP fault.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Corey. I think the best thing to do is look at the figures that we put out in the news release on the 16th. And you could see there what it looked like in February 2020. Versus February 2021. And it's amazing. Like with 250 holes, that means you have drill spacing of every 25 to sometimes 100 meters along over 4 kilometers of strike length. And, you know, for the first time in that news release, we put out 3D representation of what this thing looks like. So, you know, when you look at a long section from companies, you're looking at sort of all the data compressed into two dimensions. So I thought, you know what? In order to convey the size, let's show what the actual data looks like in three dimensions using the same plot of bubbles, like the 20 gram per ton plus, the 5 to 10, etc. And man, it to do that, you've got to draw a box. it's almost very difficult to describe, but to encompass all the drilling that we've done in that central area of the LP fault, and you want to get it all into one place, you've got to draw a scale box that's 4,200 meters long by 1,400 meters wide by 950 meters deep. Like, it's kind of crazy because, like, in a sense, that box would be, if you put it in a real-world context from what I'm familiar with here in Vancouver, it would go from the tip of Stanley Park all the way over to Science World. And in that box, there'd be 250 drill holes, all of which have hit gold. And man, it's impressive.
So, Chris, when we're talking about the overall size, and one thing to note is I will post a link to the most recent news release that does outline these comparisons from last year to this year, and also how big now this asset is in terms of all the drilling. How does this compare to other assets, either in the area or really around the world?
I'm sorry to laugh at that, I guess. It's harder and harder to find things that look like this. And again, I guess if we were having a conversation a year ago and we had, say, 50 drill holes, you know, everybody could understandably know that it was very early in the discovery cycle. It was less than a year at that point. It's been just over, I think it was May 2019 that we made the LP fault discovery. So it's been less than 2 years. But at that point, you could see that there were still big gaps in the drilling, although we'd hit the same geology and the same gold in all the holes across kilometers. But at that point, it was pretty unclear what the parallels would be. When you think about the whole situation now, you've got something in terms of the mineralized envelope, the mineralized system. And we're not talking about number of ounces or anything like that, but just think about the footprint of how big the system is. You're looking at something that's at least as big as the Canadian Malartic discovery, you know, which is the biggest mine in Canada, or something like Detour Lake in terms of the footprint that our system, the LP fault discovery, sits in. And of course, at Dixie, you have the Hinge Zone and the Dixie Limb Zone, which were the Red Lake style golden vein system right beside that, about 500 meters away, which are similar in sort of dimensionality to some of the other deposits that are in production or going into production in the Red Lake area right now. So you have to imagine all that's together. And in total, right now, we've got about 150 drill holes that we've completed on the Dixie Limb and the Hinge Zone, and 250 drill holes that we've published data from, and probably about 300 drill holes that we've drilled on the LP fault. So in total, about 450 drill holes informing your view of, you know, of what's going on here. It's absolutely incredible.
Okay, so let's reference some of these figures. Let's start with figure one here. It's very obvious how much more drilling had been done, and especially how much you've been able to tie together the left area of this LP fault zone. What about this right area, though? You still have some of those intersections, but it just seems like less drilling has been done there. Is that where the drills are progressing now?
Yeah, there's a couple areas where it's better to drill them in the winter. There's sort of a, what we used to call the gap zone, which is, I believe, on the figure that you're looking at, that's towards the left side. That was where it's just better ground access. The forest in that area is a bit wetter, so we've had roads in there and the trucks get bogged down and this sort of stuff. So better to drill that in the winter. That's why there's looser drilling there. And then the eastern kilometer of the area that we're dealing with, the host rocks are just narrower in that area. So, you know, the total ounce endowment in the LP is going to be the highest in that sort of middle few kilometers. It's going to be ultimately, like, our projection is based on the width of the host rocks that you're going to have, you know, a very good mineralized system, but it's not going to have the same massive scale on that eastern kilometer. But you do see the same mineralization, same host rocks, this kind of thing. So that's why there's less drilling there. We're trying to develop you know, what we view will likely be the economic drivers of the project, which is that, you know, middle few kilometer area within that sort of 4 to 5 kilometer panel. And I think that's what the industry wants to see. That's what our geos want to see. That's what our board wants to see, is how this looks in terms of, you know, ounce endowment and grade distribution. And that's what the drilling is showing us now.
When will we potentially get some more insights on just how many ounces you have proven out now with all these drill holes?
Like, Corey, all I can do right now is point you at the analyst reports. I mean, these guys professionally dig through the data. Now they've got hundreds of holes to work on. And, you know, there tends to be an expectation in there of a tier one asset size. So something that will be several million ounces, very likely, and probably a high rate of production. The thing is, we don't yet know this for sure. We're still in the drilling process. I would just, you know, despite the fact everything looks phenomenal, this still is a very early stage discovery. But I mean, if these guys are right, if the analysts are right, if what we think is correct, it's going to be a tier one type asset. And if it is, that means that it has a very small peer group around the world. And depending on your definition of what constitutes a tier one gold asset, there's either 17 of them on the planet or there's 30 of them on the planet. And it's less important exactly where it fits in that list. The important thing is that those assets are all controlled by major mining companies, the reason being that they tend to be the long-term economic drivers for gold production on the planet, because they're big, long-term, have good cost structures. We think that's what we have. We just really are looking forward to showing that. I think you're going to end up with that initial resource publication towards the end of this year or the beginning of next year. And it's not a function of a lack of drilling. It's a function of the fact that we're drilling something which is so big. If this was only, you know, just for back of the envelope, if it was only a couple million ounces or something like that, you would be done that initial maiden resource drilling already. That would be a typical project, a typical exploration company. Most deposits in the world, gold deposits, you know, 97% of them are in that size category or smaller, but we're dealing with something very different, which is why it's taking a couple of years to put it together. Although, you know, I was talking about this with Bob Singh, our VPX, just yesterday again. If we're right, and it is a tier one gold asset, if we do get the resources out around the time that I'm talking about, end of the year, beginning of next year, it'll still be the fastest delivery of a tier one gold resource in the country. And that's what we're aiming for. It's a very aggressive goal, but I think we can do it. So proof's always in the pudding, follow the drilling. But so far, as you can see on the results from a couple days ago, so good.
Well, it just continues to generate some very impressive results. And yeah, 4.2 kilometers of strength of strike, that is long. And fair enough, it takes a lot of time to drill that out, but you guys are aggressively drilling that. Let's also look back to figure one, because I want just a quick comment on these areas down just at the bottom of this figure. The Dixie Limb Zone, that's DL, the DHZ Zone, which is the Dixie Hinge Zone. What other work is going to be done here? Because there is a cluster of these purple dots there as well.
Yeah, the there's no shortage of purple dots in the hinge and limb. And yeah, those are going to be drilled this year as well. So I think basically we're going to close this placement, which is expected next week. So that'll have Great Bear with about $100 million in the treasury. And I think, you know, once that's done, you'll see an update on our exploration plans. I could tell you, without telling you too much, that there is extra work planned on those zones as well. I think an ideal situation for Great Bear to get into is to have simultaneous resource publication off a number of zones at once. That would be a real accomplishment for a company like us to go from initial discovery. We only found the Hinge Zone in 2018. We found the LP fault in 2019. And if we simultaneously deliver maiden resources on those at the same time, it will be something that you just haven't seen in recently in Canadian gold exploration. So anyway, that's the goal.
I think we're already getting to that point here, Chris, but it's nice that you're trying to downplay that. What about the depth component? You look at figure two and it's still pretty obvious that you have a bunch of arrows here saying that this is open at depth.
Yeah, that's actually like figure three on that news release is a really good one to look at, the 3D one, because you can see those panels of pink dots just completely open. And that's simply a function. If you look at those drill holes, the deepest ones, like if you want to hit the LP fault at about 500 meters vertical depth, which is about the deepest holes that we have data published for up to now, you've got to drill a drill hole which is over a kilometer long or close to a kilometer long, because it's going at as close to right angles as we can possibly get practically to minimize the thickness of the reported intercepts. That's what we're trying to do, is make them as skinny as possible by going perpendicular to them. So anyway, those drill holes going across it are like a kilometer long. You know, if you start doing really deep drilling on this project, and we've done some drill holes between the, you know, the LP fault and the Dixie Limb Zone and the Hinge Zone, those holes that are like 1700 meters long, those holes take about 6 weeks to drill, a month to 6 weeks to drill. So, you know, we will, over the course of 2021, complete a number of deep drill holes along the LP fault, into the Dixie Limb, into the Hinge Zone. And, but, you know, deep is just, it's a matter of context here, because in the Red Lake area, in a lot of mesothermal gold systems like what we have here at Dixie, the depth extent is significant. Like the main Red Lake gold mine is present for vertically over 2.5 kilometers. So when I use the word deep drilling, and you ask me about deep drilling on the LP fault zone, on the other zones, even if we drill it to 800 meters depth or a kilometer depth, that's still just the tip of the iceberg for these types of systems. So you got to think, whatever resource numbers Great Bear is going to come up with, they're only going to be in the shallow, probably 0 meters depth where it starts, to about 500 meters depth. And everything below that is completely blue sky expansion potential. It's hard to convey that scale, because most companies will scrape and scratch and drill and try to get, you know, try to get those ounces together. We don't know where the bottom of any of our zones are. They're totally open, and we expect them to be, based on the neighbors, very extensive, maybe up to kilometers of depth. So anyway, we can't drill all that from surface. A lot of that would have to be drilled in the future from underground exploration, drift development, this kind of stuff. But in the meantime, we can give you, I think, a tier one type asset just within the near surface. And if, you know, if I'm wrong about that, you can hold me to account when that's out. But the data is there in the news releases. It's freely available on the website for download. I know, you know, I'm always making these kind of forward-looking statements, but the proof is in the pudding. I just have a look at the results, and that's what we expect to see.
Well, and that's the thing. The results have continued to show, well, you guys continue to follow up on just good results. Let's wrap it up with a quick comment on a news release that came out at the tail end of January, January 27th. Kind of overlooked, but it was initial metallurgical testing, reporting 97% gold recoveries. How important is this for the continued story?
Well, I'd love, and everybody looking at the project would love, if all the material from all the zones could go through the same type of mill together. And that's why you got to do metallurgical work. You want to know, like, when you put out results and Great Bear puts out stuff like we did just this, a couple days ago, and you're looking at, say, 13 grams over 16 meters or 18 grams over 20 meters or whatever the results are, you know, what percentage of that gold is ultimately going to be extractable from the rock, and how is that going to change zone to zone to zone. So far, we've published metallurgical results from the hinge zone, which is just quartz veins with gold in them, basically nothing else, and then the Dixie Limb zone, which has quartz veins with gold, it has quartz veins with gold with sulfides in it, it has argillites that host the gold, it has various basalts that host the gold, silica replacement zones. That was basically recoveries of about 90% to about 97%. And the hinge zone was recoveries of about 95% to 97%. So far it's looking like it doesn't really matter what the host rock is. It looks like the material could conceivably be processed the same way. So what we need to do is a lot more metallurgical testing. But so far, again, on that end, so good. The fact that what we thought would be the most complicated zone metallurgically on the project, the Dixie Limb zone, came back with 97% gold recoveries. I mean, that's a phenomenal way to start off. That means we probably don't have a metallurgical problem on the project. And we have, like, right now, hundreds of thousands of observations of visible gold in drill core, where we can tell you, looking at the rock and then doing petrography, that's thin section work on a microscope scale, that it's free gold in the rock. All the other deposits in this area have dominantly free gold in the rock, and all the deposits in the area, regardless of that, have very high gold recovery. So it doesn't look like we're going to be any different from any of the other projects around here. We're expecting to see really good recoveries like what we just published.
All right. Well, Chris, it's a joy following along with this story. It's fun to just see how much this project has developed over the last couple of years, and still how much more drilling and exploration there is to do. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Chris regarding anything at Great Bear, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. Chris, thanks for your time, man. I'll chat again soon.
Great to talk to you, Corey. Talk soon.